a Ferrari is going to cost you a lot of money to do that, and it's going to have shitty trunk space, so why don't you buy me instead?
Welcome to the Rogue Startups Podcast, where two startup founders are sharing lessons learned and pitfalls to avoid in their online businesses. And now, here's Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Rogue Startups. This is episode 138. Dave, how you doing?
I am doing pretty well. Yourself, Craig?
Doing good, doing good. So my apologies for our absence last week. I was on death's bed with some sort of viral throat nastiness, and it was just horrible. I was asleep by 7:30 that night, I think. So apologize for not podcasting.
Well, don't let it happen again.
That's right.
And the next time I get sick, I'll be like, all right, it doesn't matter. I'm going to hack, you know, huge phlegm balls onto the microphone, but we're podcasting.
There you go. There you go.
Or not.
Come what may. Yep. Yep. Uh-huh. But no, I mean, it is the time of year, I think, with summer here. We see like a change in business already with people on vacation. Oh, I can't talk then because I'm going to be out of town and blah, blah, blah. So I think everybody is kind of half a foot out the door probably for the next 6 weeks. So when is school start back in the U.S., like middle of August?
Generally speaking, middle to late August. My school district where the kids go is way earlier. We're like the first week of August. So like August 8th, I think, is when our kids go back. Yeah. And they were also one of the earlier ones to get out, but not by a lot, you know, by a week.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just weird. But we also get like a fall break, which is a week, and a spring break. And then there's like extra days for Thanksgiving. So, you know, they've got it. They got more stuff during the year, but they just take away from summer. I don't know why. I think they felt like summer was too long, or they got complaints from parents. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that no matter what vacation setup that they came up with, some subset, some double-digit percent subset of parents will complain about it.
Sure, sure. There's always something to bitch about. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I don't think it matters. But yeah.
Man. Well, yeah, I mean, I think for me, the kind of lesson with the summer – just change in pace is as much as I can kind of go with it. You know, it's tough to say like, business is slow or whatever, and people are just not doing a bunch of stuff. I got to get out there and stir the chili, but maybe it's kind of like time to take your foot off the pedal a little bit, enjoy the time, enjoy the long days and barbecues and all that kind of stuff while you can, because, yeah, come September, everyone's going to be pedal to the metal till the end of the year. So,
yeah, I kind of have mixed feelings about it myself, you know, based on the whole frantic pace of e-commerce. So as Black Friday sort of rolls up, you know, I don't want to start pushing really hard at like the beginning of November to try to sell recapture, because in a lot of ways I feel like that's too late and you really need to get stuff going. But at the same time, like, we're adding some really cool new features and the stuff's not ready yet, and it's going to take a while to get there. And so I'm like, can't really push on that aspect of it, and I'm really kind of wanting to.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, if you talk to – so I've been talking to a number of agencies recently after Unite and just, you know, scheduling up all these calls with these guys, talking about what they're doing and who their agency serves and when are their crunch times and stuff like that. And I was talking with a couple of them, and they were both saying, yeah, you know, people just don't – even though they know Black Friday's coming, get your email marketing in line, don't wait till the last minute. Guess when they start doing it.
Right, November 15th
or whatever.
Right.
The fucking week before Black Friday is when they all push the panic button. It's like, whoop, too late.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, really? Even with all that there – I said, even – that, you know, they were replying and saying, even with all the education sequences they send out, even with all the reminders and all the emails and all the other things that are saying, get ready for Black Friday, they don't get ready for Black Friday.
I remember last year, it was September, maybe early October, and you thought some things you were going to push out were too late for people to adopt before Black Friday. So were you thinking the same kind of thing this year, that like, if you're going to push something out, it's got to be August? Otherwise, it might as well be January.
I think my thinking has really changed on that now that I've had these discussions with these other agencies and how late they go and how last minute some of these stores are doing their work on these things. It's like, I clearly have more time than I thought I did.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing like a bunch of pre-baked content. If anything, it could be the great way to market that at the last minute and say, hey, you got a week till Black Friday. Guess what? We can set up your email campaigns in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Boom. You'll be ready to go. You know?
Yeah.
That easy. So, you know, that's certainly something that I have as a background thought for marketing at this point.
And maybe a different type of customer too, right? Like maybe these are the people just getting started, really getting serious about e-commerce and having their first abandoned cart solution in place, right? Not the guys changing from something else to recapture, right?
Well, no, it's somewhere in between those. I would say that it's the people that are realizing that email marketing is something that they absolutely positively need to dig into really deeply. And it's more than just abandoned carts, and that they're making some money, and you know, they've seen some success maybe with some basic solutions from MailChimp or something like that. And now it's time to upgrade. And so I'm going to stick myself in between Klaviyo and MailChimp and say, you know, Klaviyo is like a Ferrari. You need to commute to the grocery store. A Ferrari is going to cost you a lot of money to do that, and it's going to have shitty trunk space. So why don't you buy me instead?
There you go.
Yeah.
By Dave, he's got lots of trunk space.
Yeah. Please don't use that as the title for the episode.
That's our intro, our cold open right there, guaranteed.
Yeah.
By Dave, yeah. He has trunk space. That's cool. Well, so it's good to hear that you got the vision of that is kind of evolving as you're getting to know your customer and your space better. That's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that's still an ongoing frustration, and I can see this is never really going to change because when are you really ever done with features, right? But it's just speed of engineering. So there's a set budget that I've got. I'm actually starting to get involved in the development because I just can't make it happen fast enough by paying somebody else to do it. And he's doing a fantastic job and he works really hard. It's just he's got a limited number of hours that he can do it too. So I'm like, the only way I can speed this up is to either hire somebody else, which I don't have budget for, or work on it myself. Mm-hmm. And I need to get features out faster. So right now that means doing that. And I can't, you know, the marketing plans that I have talk about these new features specifically. I know we say, you know, don't market new features or don't, you know, go building new features specifically to market and differentiate your product. But in this case, it's a unique selling proposition. It's a differentiator. So I kind of have to have this if I'm going to actually start promoting this and say my product does this and these other ones don't.
Yeah.
And if I don't have that, I mean, yeah, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll eventually have this, but sign up for me now anyway. You know, like that doesn't really work.
Well, so it works for a little bit, but then it really does. It goes bad.
Yeah, yeah. Like you can wave the pom poms and throw up the smoke and mirrors and get somebody to sign up. But when it comes push comes to shove here, you really do need something that actually works, especially in e-commerce, because the bullshit factor will go right out the window fast if they're not seeing results. You know.
Yep. Yep.
How about yourself? What are you up to these days?
Yeah, so from our end, I've been trying to put on my marketing hat as much as possible. Something I struggle with even now is like really being productive, especially like long days. Like today, I was at home all day working and just didn't get anything done. But like the days when I'm traveling or like it's a Wednesday when the kids are out of school, I get the same amount done in a few hours. So like trying to figure out how like on a long day when I'm working all day, how can I actually get a lot of work done? So I'm trying to break up my day to say like in the morning, I'm only working on Castos marketing. And so like I'll turn off support, I'll turn off chat and all that kind of stuff. And I'll just like work on funnels or emails or blog posts or whatever. And it's being helpful. But just being able to block my time is really nice. I try to do that creative stuff first thing in the morning, 'cause like the coffee's going and something else hasn't already pissed me off and got me like gone off on a slant.
Have the most active awake brain at that point. And that's the problem I have in the afternoons is that I've tried to block off time later in the day for creative work. And I just find that I'm mentally not in that space.
Yeah.
I can't muster the creative energy at that point. I can do it easier early in the morning. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to derail you there.
No, for sure. And then coincidentally, I get it again about this time of day. So like it's 9:30 at night right now. I get it in the evening after I've had some time to kind of step away from work for a few hours. Like, kids are home and dinner and blah, blah, blah. And then, like, we're watching a movie or whatever. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I should do that. Like, that's the obvious thing. And, like, we should be doing more of this. Also, I kind of, like, go through support at that time and, like, get some input from customers. So anyways, trying to figure out a way to be a little more productive in marketing, because it is getting the more and more that, like, you know, development is taken care of, support, we're getting close to having that taken care of. You know, biz ops and, like, product planning is definitely something I'm still going to own, but then it's marketing and sales. So it's just kind of getting in that mindset, because it's a tough thing to do. And I think it's why a lot of developers fall into, like, I'll just build more features, because it's a lot easier emotionally, you know, and mentally than marketing. So, like, I'll just go build more features and the thing will sell itself. And arguably, that's where I was. Sales camp is, we're just, I'm chicken shit right now. And I'm just like, we need this feature before I can go sell it to the world. And I know that's not the case. So I'm kind of learning something I should definitely know, which is, like, just go sell it. And it's not going to be perfect. It's still going to suck. But just go sell it. And we've done a couple of things recently that are getting on that road. So I did my first webinar about 3 weeks ago. Yeah. So I'll give kind of the overall kind of strategy on kind of why we're doing webinars. So the first webinar we did was very much focused at, I'll say, beginners in the podcasting space. So, like, it was podcasting 101, like A to Z. So, like, really basically everything we teach in our paid podcast motor course in about an hour. So it's like, you know, you can't do it all justice, but, like, I went through pretty much everything in about an hour, including questions and answers. And we had about 170 people sign up. So just through emailing our Podcast Motor email list, we had about 170 people show up, and about 55 people showed up. So from what I understand, that's
nice.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, about a third of the people that register show up is about, and we had, like, the inevitable snafu with our webinar software where I sent out the wrong link at the first email or some crazy shit like that. So it's like,
well, of course, something has to go wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
But overall, I'd say, like, there were no major catastrophes. Like, we didn't lose power in the middle of it or anything. Like, you hear all these horror stories, but, so we had our first one and it was good. I think in terms of business impact, it was okay. We saw maybe a little bump, in kind of registrations, for Castos from that. But we're doing our first joint webinar this next week, the 11th, talking about building podcast communities with Facebook groups. And so we have a gal, actually Dave from Rhodium, Devani Anderson. I don't know if you know her.
I don't know.
She's in the Rhodium group. And so her and I chatted, gosh, almost 2 years ago when we started our Podcast Hackers Facebook group that kind of serves both Podcast Motor and Castos at this point. But so we're going to talk about how you can build kind of, like, thriving communities with Facebook groups specifically for podcasts. And so we've seen, like, Steli and Heaton for the Startup Chat and a bunch of other of our customers and people I know in podcasting do this a lot of times at our suggestion. And it's, like, really great, right? Like, because podcasting is, like, Dave, we talk and people listen. And, like, the Facebook community is a chance for, like, that discussion to continue and for you to hear back from your listeners, because we have a lot of listeners we've never talked to.
I'm sure. Yeah.
I had a call with one of ours today. It was absolutely fantastic. It was a total blast. I chatted with Brian Adolph today. So he's, like, lives in Philadelphia, and he's going to be at Podcast Movement, the big conference I'm going to later this month. So he and I had a chance to chat today, but anyways, so shout out to Brian, but, so anyways, Facebook groups, a great way to, like, build community around your podcast and your brand, all this kind of stuff. So Devani and I are going to be talking about how to build podcast communities or, you know, Facebook communities for your podcast. So it'll be interesting to see. We just sent out the emails yesterday and today, like, what attendance is like in a joint webinar with both of us promoting the same webinar. And then, I guess, really for both of us, we'll have a small pitch for each of our kind of products towards the end of the webinar, what the business impact is. Because for the first one, it didn't kind of, like, blow the doors off, but I think there's probably a little bit of, like, I got to refine my pitch and the people I have on the webinar. You know, are they really our ideal target customer, and how do I get those people and stuff like that? So we're running a bit of Facebook ad money at this webinar. So we'll see how that turns out too, I guess.
Now that's very interesting, because webinars are definitely on my list of things. You know, I have been very, very resistant to the whole notion of webinars in general.
Yeah.
I sign up for some of them. I rarely show up to them. If they send me a recording, great. If they don't, well, then I'm never going to go back to it again. But at the same time, like, I know that Breck Palumbo of Distressed Pro, Big Snow Tiny Conf attendee, is getting huge, huge results out of his webinars. But he specifically has a really good – I mean, he has an info product. He has an info product that's backed by a SaaS, I should say. Mm-hmm. And for those that aren't familiar with this, he actually sources some public data, cleans it up, and then publishes that as an ongoing refreshed guide for distressed real estate. So, you know, things like repossessions and mortgages that
bank-owned properties
defaulted. And, yeah, bank-owned properties. But it's commercial and residential both. I think it may actually lean more commercial. I don't remember. Anyway, but he is like spending tons and tons of time on these webinars just doing kind of educational content for those that want to see it. And he's got the whole thing like recorded and dialed in. And I mean, this is basically his growth pipeline, to the point where he was skiing 90 days over 100 days, not this last season, but the season before, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was this last season. I don't remember. He logs insane amounts of time on the slopes up on Mount Bachelor where he lives up near Bend. And that's because his business basically runs itself, and the webinars are a huge source of traffic for him, and that works really well. So, I mean, I'm very jealous of when he tells me about these webinars and how successful it is and what's going on with that. And I'm like, is there a way I can replicate this? And then, you know, I hear of others in the e-commerce space that are doing webinars, but they're kind of doing like joint webinars. So it's like two companies that get together and talk about something where it might be a case study for their mutual customer, where the two services have a similar customer and the customer has managed to combine those two, and then they are wildly successful, of course, right? That's sort of like the webinar formula.
Yeah. Yep.
You always want to talk about somebody else's success. And, you know, I don't have that specifically yet, because we don't have a lot of integrations. We just have Zapier and MailChimp, and, you know, I'm looking at integrations and I'm looking at the engineering time, and I'm like, okay, well, if I balance that against the other features I want to build, are we going to be able to pull these other things off? And is this going to be worth it? And, you know, it's like, it's not a slam dunk. If somebody were to tell me, Dave, you know, I just like tripled my MRR by running a webinar, I would be tripping over myself, running over and doing a webinar right now. I would say, you know, screw this episode. We're not going to do this. I need to go be running a webinar. But that's not the case. It's not a slam dunk in every single case. Like, Brecht really has it dialed in. It's doing really well. It sounds like, you know, you have some more levers and knobs to push there, but, you know, I will be listening very closely to try to figure out what that looks like and make a webinar work for me, because I definitely would love to have that growth lever to pull on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that, all right. So, I mean, a couple things, like, you look at some of the really high growth companies in our world, a lot of them have utilized webinars. Probably Lead Pages, like, being the biggest example. I mean, they were running them every day, live webinars every day there for a long time with TemPage. But I think, like, for me, the reason we, one, only ran it to our podcast motor email list, didn't promote it at all, like, on social media or even in our Facebook group or to the Castos email list, is I honestly had no idea how it would go, you know? And, like, would I suck at it? Would my shitty French internet be enough for, like, a live webinar? Would the content I have like resonate with our audience, all this kind of stuff? And it was good. It wasn't like great from a business impact. It definitely wasn't great. It was better than nothing. But I kind of look at it as, like, for me, creating a podcast is an easy form of content. You and I talk for 40 minutes. I spend another 45 minutes producing it the next morning, and then it goes out. And that's a pretty easy piece of content for us to create. A webinar, I have the fucking slides at this point, you know? And then, like, I can give the same webinar every other week or something, run some ads to it, get a couple hundred people on there. If I get two customers or three customers, I'll make my money back, you know, within the year. So, I mean, I think it's definitely, like you talk about the funnels of webinars, like Brecht is running with his evergreen webinars and all this kind of stuff. It definitely is something that's dialed in over time. I'm expecting this to be something that's dialed in over time of like who we get on and, you know, what kind of joint webinars are the best ones to convert and have the biggest business impact and stuff. But a little bit of his like branding and authority building, you know, like just getting out there and writing blog content and being on social media and doing webinars and blah, 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 I think are all, I don't want to say necessary, but definitely helpful for like the thing we talk about a lot with like, when you think of X, who do you think of? You know, like when you think of abandoned cart recovery emails, do you think of Recapture? Or do you think of someone else? And like, if you're always in somebody's, in your customer's head with all this stuff, then the chance of converting a customer down the road are better. So I don't know. I mean, I think the first one was not like a wild success, but it was definitely not a failure, which I would count as like a thumbs up. So yeah, we'll see how this one goes. It'll be interesting dynamically to host a webinar with someone else. So I've not done that. So it could suck, but we'll see. So
yeah, I would love to hear more about that when you actually go through and do that. You know, I know one thing, Breck has basically made it so that he's got, you know, a virtual assistant, or he hired an assistant who's sitting there and responding to things in live chat as if she was actually Breck. Uh-huh. And, you know, that's what makes it live-ish, but the whole thing is basically recorded, and he's done it enough times that he's gotten the FAQs kind of nailed, and he throws those out as questions towards the end from other, you know, quote, participants. And then he turns around and answers them. And then, of course, additional people can throw in live chat questions or whatever. And so I think when you have an evergreen webinar like that, you can sort of get it to that point. But it's the part where he built that all up from scratch. That's the part that, you know, is less clear. And for Breck, it was very obvious what it was he had to educate people on, because he knew exactly where they were struggling with the product. So if he could take that and turn it into an educational piece, that turns around and automatically sort of promotes his own product in a sale, because once they understand that, then they're like, oh, well, if I can do that, then, oh, wait, there's this other product that does most of that for me and I don't have to go through all these manual bullshit steps. Totally. Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, for him, it was a no-brainer. It's less, you know, it's less of a no-brainer for me, because there's tons and tons of e-commerce content out there, and there's lots of other people that are doing webinars, and so some of it gets very specific, some of it's not. I mean, there is a lot of evergreen stuff in e-commerce that you can look at and talk about, but the stuff that we're planning, and I'm being intentionally vague about that, it is stuff that not that many people are doing, and so I'm trying to stay focused with that and make it something really useful and unique, because that is a hard thing to create these days with content, mm-hmm. especially when you're in a highly competitive space. You can hire a content company and generate the same kinds of articles about e-commerce that everybody else is doing, and it will not cut through the noise. I mean, you know, I should know. I did that. And the content that we got was great, but it was just too similar to other things that were being built out there. And so people would read it a little bit, but it wasn't like moving the needle. They weren't sharing it. They weren't amazed by it. They weren't following up on it. It is what it is. So you just have to work harder at creating better content. But that's the game right now, whether it's webinars or content marketing. I mean, it's hard to create new and unique content that people are like, wow, that's going to move the needle for me, you know?
Did you see, it was maybe a month and a half ago, the Ahrefs guys put out a free video course on content? Did you see that? About like how to build a blog with 1 million visitors?
I think – so this was a multi-post kind of thing, because I don't think I caught all of it, but I definitely remember something – I saved it. Because I knew I was going to do something along those lines. Like what they were talking about was exactly what I needed to know. And I think it was about improving the shareability of your content or something like that. So it seemed like it was like part three or something like that. So it was part of the series. I'm pretty sure it must have been about the same time, because the Ahrefs guys definitely were popping up on my radar in the last 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll link to it. I'll find it and link to it in the show notes. Cause I mean, I totally agree, Dave. I mean, I think we're just going to start writing blog content for Castos. Cause we've had 7 or 8 blog posts at this point in like almost 2 years, a year and a half. And so we're going to get serious about writing more blog content, but that's a big thing I'm thinking about is like, I don't want to spend time and money just to write the same effing post as everyone else. Like I want to build like a blog that really teaches or really establishes authority and knowledge. And
right.
It's definitely not the same thing. And it's not for the same person. But like, I think if you don't know what you're writing about, then it's easy to just write 700 word blog posts and send them out there and they get 50 visits a month. And like, I mean, we did that for Podcast Motor for a long time, but we had some home runs too. So I think I think it's something, I don't know, for me, it's something that's kind of like the other big thing we have to do is kind of get serious about content, about marketing to kind of take the next step with the business.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, hey, let me ask you about medium touch sales. And this is totally off of the topic of what we were planning to talk about today. But do you know, have you ever been to meetedgar.com?
I have, yes. Okay, or a Rotor site.
Yeah. Are you a customer?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
So she had a really interesting, and this is kind of on the topic of like webinars and funnels and stuff like that. That's the reason I bring it up and derail us totally from what we're going to talk about today. But
I think
it's applicable because like talking about like building a business like Brex, and I think that like, so what Laura does is she calls it like medium touch, direct marketing, I think is what she says. And I heard her on, the SaaS Stock podcast. And so basically her thing is like for B2B, nobody comes to your website and signs up and buys the first day. So don't even, don't even try, right? Is her thing. So they don't have a buy button on their website at all. They also don't have a request a demo button because they don't have any salespeople. So where they kind of cut the middle of like with us right now with Sales Camp, we have just a request a demo button. And so now I am spending like hours a week, people canceling their appointments or not showing or whatever or bullshit. And me doing demos. Or you have like a bunch of people trying to self-serve sign up and never really converting down the road. So what Laura has done, and I think it's really smart, and it's totally, we're totally going to borrow this idea, is like build probably an automated webinar, which is the like call to action on the website that's gated by email. So you can only see the automated webinar if you give your email, and then they follow up really well. So I signed up as like, you know, a potential lead to Edgar because I am thinking about signing up for it. But, and then now like I'm getting all of their emails and they are great follow-up emails. They're a good mix of like educational, like this is social media and this is why you should be doing more social media and this is why it's a pain in the ass and this is why Edgar is so great and you should sign up and here's your discount and the discount's going to expire in 48 hours, all this kind of stuff. I mean, in a week I've gotten like 8 or 9 emails and it's a really cool approach if like you say kind of like probably recapture is where like you're not just going to come up and like whole hog jump in to a new like email tool the first day. And the same with Sales Camp. I mean, with integrations and all this kind of stuff, no one's going to buy Sales Camp the first day. So why not like get their email, start building a relationship with them, show them the tool and the problem and agitate the problem and all that kind of stuff you would do in a demo call, but do it over like a week of email and videos and like pre-recorded webinars and stuff. I totally am enamored by the concept and we're like releasing some like UI updates to Sales Camp here in the next week. And then I'm going to record a bunch of stuff and put this whole funnel into place because I think it's a really cool answer to like, how does someone like us who doesn't want to get on the phone with customers every day, I mean, happy to get on the phone with customers, but I don't want to do it all the time because it just takes a bunch of time. How can you still provide that kind of medium touch sales thing to people like on their terms, but give them the love they need to hopefully convert down the road? So,
yeah, I mean, the one thing, so it's funny that you bring this up because there's one characteristic that I've noticed of the customers that are the most likely to convert are usually the ones that are like reaching out to me. Mm-hmm. So if they're having a question about the software, if they're trying to configure something and they can't quite find it in the docs, or it's not like it's super complicated and, you know, it's usually a pretty quick thing, or they'll be like, hey, do you support custom email? Because I don't see that over here. And then we eventually added an FAQ for that. But, you know, it's usually that kind of a question. The more of that I hear, the more likely they are to actually turn around and convert into an actual paying customer. The ones that like come in, do the drive-by, I never hear from, are the ones that are least likely to actually finish their trial and sign up as a paying customer. So in some ways, your medium touch sales process there, and I'm totally going to go steal this from Laura's site, is to basically force them to engage with you at some level. And I think, you know, I had a conversation with Rob Walling somewhere like around Christmas, I think, where he was basically like, take the demo off your site, put a request demo button up there, and force them to engage with you. Mm-hmm. And I resisted that because I felt like I was shutting off the ability for somebody to explore it on their own terms and then put me in the middle of the process. Because I know that when I have gotten to sites where, like, for example, they don't even have a pricing page, I'm like, fuck you, I'm out of here.
Yeah, no, totally. I don't. Yep.
And because they're basically forcing me to go through the whole demo thing. And I'm like, I'm just not that interested. I just want to check it out. But at the same time, if you're really an engaged customer and you're seriously looking for a solution to go with this, it seems like you're going to get people through that gate that are going to be more likely to do something. I was just worried that by putting that gate up, I'm basically filtering out people that were somewhere in between where they might do something, but by putting up the gate, you're basically shutting them off. And I didn't want to like kill any leads that I didn't already have.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. You know, I haven't tested that. So that's a completely unfounded, irrational Dave fear. I have no data whatsoever to back that up. That's just me.
No, 100%. I mean, and I think that's, I totally agree. And so we've been doing demo only for 6 weeks, maybe 2 months at this point for sales camp. And I've had a lot of conversations and a lot of them have been really interesting. A lot of like weird, can you do this? Or I want to do that. And I'm like, yeah, we have an API. You can do, you know, anything you want basically. Right. But it's given us the knowledge, I think at this point, to say like, okay, we can do a pre-recorded demo or webinar or whatever you want to call it, that walks through like the 80% of the questions that people have, to where I don't have to schedule time with them and, you know, do a demo call at 8 o'clock at night here and everything, you know, to get a lot more people, I think, into that funnel. Cause it's not a lot to click a button, drop your email in, and then go watch a video relative to, you know, click this and the Calendly and the blah, 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 blah. Like, yeah, because I'm the same way. I would never, ever, ever schedule a demo call ever, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, that's not me. Like, no. If I'm looking for it right now, I want to do it right now. I don't want to have to set up something later. But at the same time, like all of these agencies that I've been talking to, you know, I've been having some really valuable, interesting conversations getting somebody on the phone. So maybe what I need to do is just shut that off for recapture, try it out for 6 weeks and make everybody sign up for a demo through a webinar or through a direct link with me on Calendly and see what kind of crazy ass shit I get people talking about in there. Cause maybe I'll find something really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the other maybe middle road is you could have like an email gated video and then ask people if they want to book time with you afterwards as one of the emails. That's what we're planning on doing. So I'm planning on showing them a video and sending them emails for another 10 days or something off and on. One of those will definitely be click here to book time on my calendar to talk about how we can help you. Because those will be super, super engaged people that they watch the video, they're getting the emails and they still want to talk. That's a lot better than like the only option they have on your website is to request a demo, you know?
Right. Right. So. No, I think that's a better, I mean, you have to experiment, right? And yeah, clearly totally. I haven't experimented enough on that solely out of fear. but yeah, the agency conversations that I've been having have kind of opened my eyes to some things that I didn't really think about before, which is where I was going. And I've actually been using these agency calls to kind of test pitch the new thing that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And I've had really positive results. They're like, oh, well, your other competitors don't do that. So yeah, we could totally do that. Now, that hasn't turned around and generated sales yet, because of course I haven't built that feature. So, and I've warned them about that. So I don't know what the end result of that is. I've pitched them something that doesn't exist, and they're like, yeah, that's really cool. I would totally sign up for that. And none of them have brought me stores yet. So what does that really mean, right? Mm. What kind of feedback is that?
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, so it's interesting talking about kind of experimenting with sales and marketing channels. You know, I think the cool thing about it is it can be really great. The bad thing is it can be bad or indeterminate. Like, you just don't know. Like, you end it, you finish it, and you're like, that was kind of good and kind of bad. I don't know what to do now. So, but I think it is cool and like healthy and exciting to be testing some of this stuff, because it gives you a little breath of fresh air in your business. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, I think I definitely need to be adding that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I'd love to hear other people's kind of input and feedback on tests or experiments or different approaches they've been running with sales and marketing and getting customers into their funnels. I think it's a place where a lot of us have a lot of room for improvement. So I'd love to hear your thoughts. Send us a message, podcast@roguestartups.com, or drop a comment in below this post. And if you haven't already, leave us a 5-star review in iTunes. It certainly makes Dave and I's day. So go make our day.
Go ahead, punk. Make my day. Does anybody even get that reference anymore? I mean, am I that old that
it's,
nobody
Dirty
else
Harry, gonna... right?
That's totally Dirty Harry, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Cool. Well, yeah, go make our day and leave us a review and let us know that you're enjoying the show. Or if you're not, leave us, send us an email. Don't leave us a bad review. but yeah,
go to iTunes if you love us, only if you love us.
Right. But no, we totally love hearing from everybody. So drop us a line, let us know how things are going. And if you have any input or feedback on the episode today, definitely let us know, and we'll see you next time.
And for those in the United States, happy Independence Day to all.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Rogue Startups. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. For show notes from each episode and a few extra resources to help you along your journey, head over to roguestartups.com to learn more.